back to it on a Wednesday, the 7th of August. Good to have you here. You know, when I grew up here in Michigan in the Midwest, and wherever I traveled, places I lived, whether it was Illinois or Ohio or lived in Montana for a number of years, we would blame the person that committed a crime for committing the crime. We didn't blame somebody else. But apparently, the media and numerous politicians are desperately trying to blame Donald Trump for the shootings in El Paso and Dayton, ignoring completely that the Dayton attacker was a hardcore leftist, supporter of Elizabeth Warren, pro-socialist, pro-Satan, promoted Bernie Sanders, Antifa, gun control, numerous. And I don't blame Elizabeth Warren for his actions. I don't blame Bernie Sanders for his actions. The point being is different ideologies create these broken human beings that do this kind of damage. And to blame Donald Trump, I think, is a bad path to take. My next guest also grew up in Michigan. Good for her. Shelby Emmett, First Amendment attorney, freedom of speech advocate, and a former legislative counsel for members of Congress. Shelby, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
I think the two candidates that I've seen be most shrill about blaming the president, Beto O'Rourke, who's just off the charts in you know, swearing and foul language, and Donald Trump's to blame for everything that has happened, and Elizabeth Warren not far behind. And I think that's just a bad path to take. I am a complete advocate of the freedom of speech. I think they have every right to say that. I just think that with freedom of speech, there's also a certain responsibility. There should be a moral compass, maybe, that goes with it. Your thought.
You're absolutely right. I speak to college students all the time. I'll speak to young Republican groups or young Democrat groups. And when the Milo issue was jumping on college campuses a few years ago, I would say, you guys, I understand what you're trying to do, but if your agenda is to try to bring more people into the fold, maybe think about who your messenger is. Same thing goes here. They are more than welcome to use this rhetoric on the left, no pun intended, but I don't think it's going to work for them. And they also have to then take responsibility for the things that they are saying. And I think politically, it's not going to turn out well.
I agree with that. You know, just because you're allowed to do something or because it's legal doesn't mean it's prudent, doesn't mean it's a good idea. The same would go for the president and some of the things that he has said or tweeted over the past few years. I might have counseled him to say, you know, maybe that's not a good idea. But to go so far as to accuse the president of having blood on his hands for these mass killings by soulless human beings, I think sets an ever lower bar and a dangerous precedent. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. The problem in the First Amendment field, whenever a tragedy happens, usually the first thing society tries to do is find a way to fix it. And usually the best way to do that is to say we need to silence the things that we think are causing the problem. And in here, it's rhetoric. It's something that they don't like. So this has happened throughout American history specifically, within 10 years of us ratifying the First Amendment. So it's not new. With that said, if you look at polling and you look at the culture today on both sides, more and more people are now tying words to violence, just polling or act or symbolic words to violence.
So whatever happened to, you know, I'm going to take us right back to kindergarten, if that's all right. We're both going back to kindergarten here, Shelby. I mean, seriously, whatever happened to sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What happened to that American credo? That really was the way we founded our world. I mean, yeah, you can call me names, you can say terrible things, that's okay, I'll get over it. You know, it's these words are violence, nonsense. I mean, that's the mentality of so many people these days, young people especially, that it's just, it's absurd. Why do we have so many weaklings?
I can only tell you that it has to start in the home, correct? At the end of the day, I can tell you that, you know, growing up in Detroit, being from Michigan in the Midwest, and now living out in D.C., there is this idea that everybody does feel very entitled to everything. And again, when I speak to college students, you get this idea that they've been structured their entire existence, right? Whether that's set up play dates to getting a trophy at third grade, getting a graduation just because they, you know, finished kindergarten.
Right.
Everybody is so used to feeling good all the time that when they hear something that they don't like and mommy and daddy aren't there to tell them how great they are, I think a lot of young people.
Yeah. Johnny and Susie, you're the greatest thing ever. Mommy just loves you. Anyhow, you're exactly right. I'll give you this, though, Shelby. People that grew up in Michigan were just tougher than everybody else. And cooler, by the way, than everybody else. I hope you tell them that in D.C. because I tell people all the time. But how do we get past this? I mean, we have, seriously, our participation ribbon mentality, our coddling mentality has raised a bunch of thin-skinned wimps. They say Donald Trump is thin-skinned. He may well be. But good Lord, people, look around. Look at you guys. I don't want to hear it. I mean, how many times I've had conversations with young people who have literally put their hands over their ears because I disagree with them. I'm not going to listen to this. I mean, I'm talking people in their 20s, 30, that walk out of the room. I'm not going to listen to this. Really? I'm sorry. Do you need a safe space here? I mean, what kind of nonsense? America was created on great debate, very divisive conversations, angry conversations, political conversations, life and death conversations. Are we too thin-skinned and wimpish to do that now? That's my fear.
I do get fearful of it, but, you know, I was raised by a World War II Marine, and I still think at the end of the day, people are going to get sick and tired of this overall victimization mentality because it's very exhausting. You know, we're boycotting every little thing, but I don't think it's as real as we think it is. I think the media is portraying Americans as, you know, we're one extreme or the other. We all hate each other and we're disgusted. But whenever I come back home, and we know how this is, most people don't care. They're not focused on that. If their neighbor needs something, they'll help them. They're just trying to get through the day and maybe have enough time to relax and watch TV for an hour. So I think most Americans don't.
I think we have a lot more in common than we've ever had differences. But I think that some of these networks, I think CNN is guilty oftentimes of putting a magnifying glass on the differences and trying to highlight that, which is, I mean, what other explanation do you have? This Dayton shooter was a far leftist wacko, and the guy in El Paso was apparently an anti-immigration wacko. Wackos come from all sorts of backgrounds. It's not unique, but they want you to believe it's all these right-wing white people and white supremacy, which is nonsense. I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm out in the real world every day. White supremacy isn't making some bizarre comeback after the 1920s, and it was exterminated for the most part. And that narrative, I find it intellectually offensive. Frankly, you don't agree with us. You must be a Nazi. You're a Ku Klux Klan member. Really? That's what you're going with. That's your anyhow. That's the sort of thing that I find is just abject foolishness. I'll give you the last word, Shelby. Where do we go from here?
I would say there's two things. One, we should be very concerned with anybody, but even the president, when he says we need to look at video games, we need to look at this, we need to look at that. Video games is a form of expression, which means it's protected under the First Amendment. Anytime that we want to look at something else to blame for the actions of the others is the exact moment the federal government or the state government is going to try to restrict your rights. So don't get caught up in the politics of this. Push back, even if you're a Trump supporter, because the First Amendment trumps all of it. No pun intended. So just pay attention because you can start to see the ministry.
Great conversation, Shelby. Very well done. Very well articulated. Once again, Michigan people. Outpacing everybody else as it should be. And by the way, I do have a copy of the Constitution in my hand. I looked. It doesn't say you have a right to never be offended. I checked again. Shelby Emmett, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much.
There you have it. Shelby Emmett here on the program. Quick break. This is the Steve Huber Show on a Wednesday. We'll be right back.
Seen the headlines. Water purity has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier water treatment company and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves customers statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.
It's hiring season in the construction industry, and have they got a job for you? Find out at michiganconstruction.com. Major companies are looking to fill positions all over Michigan. They're working on projects across the state, and so can you. If you're looking for a great place to hang your hard hat, check out michiganconstruction.com. Apply now. You can have great pay, health care, benefits, and a future, because it just might be a career. Go to michiganconstruction.com. That's michiganconstruction.com, because Michigan is hiring.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our communities secure. composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life and in every corner of America, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. The Army National Guard reacts to domestic operations in each of America's 54 states and territories, including Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and the District of Columbia. Each state National Guard's unique domestic role is to act as the first line of defense in support of civil authorities in their state. The Guard's emergency responses include search and rescue missions for floods, combating wildfires, hurricane and tornado recovery, and the presidential inauguration. The Army National Guard. We are always ready. We are always there. And in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.